2 Chronicles 25. Trust you'll open up the scriptures where we were reading just a little earlier on. And just let's unite our hearts together tonight as we come to the preaching of God's Word. I've entitled the message, God's Much More. God's Much More. Let's seek the Lord's face. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us. We're mindful, Lord, of the little works there in southern Spain. We pray that I would bless our brother Lyle at this time. Remember Ulysses as he preaches the word there in Chilcana tonight. Oh God, we thank Thee for even that little flock of God's redeemed, saved out of darkness of Romanism. Pray, Lord, that Thou would add unto them much more. Lord, Thou would add to the church such as should be saved. We'd ask, Lord, to see Him for here. Oh God, we ask that Thou would, Lord, come and bless tonight. And Lord, that Thou would give the spiritual increase. We thank the Lord for a faithful people coming to God's house twice on a Sabbath. Thank the Lord for some it has been more than that. And Lord, we would desire to be nowhere else other than among the people of God. And we pray that Thou would come and Thou might richly bless us even as we would turn to Thy Word just now. Lord, give us understanding. Teach us, Lord, from this little phrase, this little text. And, O God, apply even the Word by the power of Thy Spirit. We'd ask, Lord, to that end Thou would fill us with that power from on high, the power of God, the Holy Spirit, to preach us thus. And thus saith the Lord, give me words that must and shall prevail. Give us those prevailing words, for we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As a young man of 25 years of age, Amaziah was found to be in the throne of the land. He was said to do that which was right in the sight of the Lord, albeit not with a perfect heart. He was a king who, when he gathered together his army of men, they were to number 300,000. But yet as he contemplated going to war against Edom, and Edom, can I remind you, it was a country and it was a people which seemed to be always against Israel. And when he contemplated going to war against this part of the land, he believed that he still hadn't got enough men. And so his resolve was to add to the ranks of his own men by hiring another 100,000. The problem was that he was to hire these men from the tribe of Ephraim, and that was of the northern territory of Israel. And Israel were at that time given over to idolatry. Israel were a people that had apostatized. They had turned away from the Lord. And the sad thing is that Amaziah didn't seem to be concerned about that. It didn't seem to matter to him. And all that he desired was to have men on hand to fight against the enemy. And so this king, whose name I have to say to you is very significant, for his name means God is mighty. He was all set to face the foe and to have himself a great victory as he thought. All was prepared. All was ready. He had got his own men together. He had hired another 100,000 and he was all set for to go against this nation of Edom. Until we read in verse 7, there's a man of God came. But there came a man of God to him. And you'll notice we're not told anything about this man of God. We're not given his name. We don't know who he was. But what we are told ought to be enough. For it states, but there came a man of God to him. That is not a title which ought to be taken lightly. And conversely, it is not a title that can be rendered lightly either, or given to someone lightly. In the book of Deuteronomy, it is Moses who is called a man of God. And maybe, men and women, that immediately gives us a little idea of the caliber of man that we're talking about. Here was God's servant. Here was a man of God in question. Here was a man who no doubt had come with a message from the Lord. He was a man of God. And that message was that if he wanted to win the battle, if he wanted to be victorious over Edom, then he would have to take heed to the word from the Lord. if he ignored what he had been told, if he took with him these men from the northern part of Israel, then he will be sure of certain defeat and certain disaster. And you know, it's very similar scenario to those who sit under the message of the gospel this evening. In the words of other scriptures, the way of life and the way of death is being set before you. And you can either take heed to the way of life and the Word of God, and you can obey its call, or similarly, you can ignore the Word of God coming to you, and you can suffer the consequences for not doing it and not obeying it. It's my desire this evening to bring another simple little phrase. I think we have been looking at just simple gospel text this last 3 or 4 weeks of a Sunday evening. And I just want to bring another little simple phrase of Scripture before the unconverted soul tonight. For I believe in Amaziah, there's a picture of many who sit outside of Christ. The phrase in particular, which is of great interest to me, is found in verse 9. And it simply says, the man of God answered at the end of it, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. I want just to look at that tonight. You'll notice, first of all, his affection. It must be understood that Amaziah and hiring the servants, the services of those other men, it was to cost him 100 talents. Needless to say, it amounted to quite an amount of money. But now that this man of God has stood before him, and now that he has told them to get rid of those extra men, there was a problem in the mind of Amaziah. And you look at the start of verse 9, and Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? He had spent all these talents, and yet he was going to get nothing for it. You see, dear people, his affection was upon the money. It was with those talents that he increased the strength of his army. And it was with the mere numbers that he was now depending upon to give him the victory over the enemy. And this was something that he could do for himself because he had the wealth. He had the money to do it. He could buy the services of others at his own will. But to take those away was to take away his only hope, and that which he believed was his lifeline for the battle. To send away the extra men was moreover to come away shortchanged. He had spent all that money. He had added to his ranks. He was now comfortable to face the foe. But this man of God has stood before him. And this man of God tells him to do the exact opposite. He was to send the men away without lifting his sword and without using them in the battle. Here was a king who was relying on other things, but he needed to realize that his dependence was upon the wrong things. Can I give you another example? It's that of the mighty champion of God called Gideon. And Gideon was a great leader. And he was a champion of God. But Gideon had to learn that it wasn't numbers that were important. He started off with 32,000 to face the Midianites. And God came and told Gideon, Gideon, you have too many. 22,000 of them returned who were faithful. He's left with 10,000. And God comes to Gideon again and he says, Gideon, you have still too many. And they were brought down to the water's edge. And those who drunk the water, lapping it with their hands, were those who were chosen. But the others who bowed down on their knees, they weren't suitable. And Gideon was left with 300. And God then says to Gideon in Judges chapter 7, in the words of verse 7, and the Lord said unto him, by the 300 men that lappeth will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man onto his face. It was by that little remnant that God was going to give him the victory. Gideon had to depend upon the Lord, not upon great numbers. You remember the woman in the Gospels, the woman that we're told that was sick with the issue of blood for 12 years. We're told that she spent all her living upon the physicians, and yet none of them could heal her. She was none the better. Her affection, her hope was upon the wrong things. And it was only when she was to stretch out her hand and she was to touch the garment of the Savior that she was to be made whole. It was only when she depended upon the Savior and upon the finished work that she was to be healed. And Amaziah had his affection upon the money that he spent, upon those whom he had gathered around him in his army. But to proceed down that road was to meet with certain failure and certain defeat. And if he disregarded the word of God, then he would know what it was to fall, what it was to lose the battle before the foe. And dear people, when I think of this man, I can see him reflected in the lives of people today. They seek to have heaven. They want to be certain of that glory land and one day enter into that eternal inheritance. But sadly, many have got their affections on the wrong things. Many have their hopes upon what they can do. Many have had their hopes upon their own dependence on something else or someone else but what the Word of God says. And there are those who sincerely believe that they can pay their way into glory, who can work their way into heaven, but the Word of God reminds us that the way of salvation is without money and without price. Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The Bible tells me that the work necessary has been accomplished and that work has been completed and there remains no more that needs to be done. Men and women, to continue down that road, to depend on these lesser things, is to be certain of being in a lost eternity. It's just like Amaziah. I'm reminded of those words in Colossians that we are to set our affections upon things above, not on the things of the earth. Many young men have their minds on what they can get out of this world. And they can, like Amaziah, only see the here and now which is before them. He can only see the great number in his army. I wonder, what is it that is that you're resting upon tonight? What is it your vision is upon? Maybe it's the good times. Maybe it's the company. Maybe it's the secret sins. Whatever those 100 talents are to you, it is not worth losing your soul over. And it is time that you started to think about your eternity and your state before God. It's time that you started to consider the real eternal issues and what you ought and what you need concerning your soul. Don't allow the devil to sell yourself short where God's salvation is concerned. Where's your affection tonight? I want you to consider also, secondly, the assurance, his assurance. Amaziah was only concerned about the great loss that he felt he would be making if he were to send home those extra soldiers. But you know, he was given an answer from the man of God which brought those 100 talents into the right perspective. The man of God said unto him, "The Lord is able to give thee much more than this." What an assurance this was to his own heart. In other words, he wasn't to worry about a meager 100 talents when the Lord was upon his throne. And the one who made all things and the one who owned all things was able to give him much more. The man of God directs his attention to the person of God. We are reminded by the words of the psalmist, "The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. The gold, the silver, and the wealth in every mine belongs to him." The man of God led him to think about what possessions he could have if he should obey the word of God, if he should follow his commands. He would not merely be thinking in terms of 100 talents, but the prospects were for much more than this. There would be a multiplying of what he already had. There would be a great increase in what he already possessed. And what's more, it would be freely bestowed upon him. You see, it says, "The Lord will give thee much more than this." What an assurance that Amaziah was to have that day from God's servant. But my friend, without God's salvation before me this night, I want you to reflect just now upon your life. I want you to reflect upon what your life is. I want you to think of those things that you enjoy the most. And it may be different. It will be different for each one. It might be the nights out. It might be the old company in the factory or the workyard or wherever you are. It may be the money that is accruing in some place tonight. It maybe it is those so-called friends. Maybe it's the kicks that you can get out of this world. Or it could be 1,000 other things. But those things which are holding you back from coming to the Lord, I want you to think upon them. Because like Amaziah, you believe that you have something to hold on to. You believe you have something that you're reluctant to let go of. And in most cases, it's just simply sin. You want to hold on to your sin. But I want to tell you in the gospel, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. I don't care what it is that you place on the one side of the scales. I assure you the Lord is able to better it. I trust you notice that I do not direct you to the church. Yes, we're able to give much more than many another place tonight where we preach this old book. We preach Christ and Him crucified, but I don't direct you to the church because the church can fail you. The church is not perfect this side of eternity. I don't direct you either to the person in the form of a minister or a prelate because a minister can fail you. But I direct you only to the person, the blessed person of the Lord Jesus Christ. For you see, the prophet Isaiah reminds us that he's God's perfect servant. And God's perfect servant shall not fail, and neither shall he be discouraged. It's the Lord who is able to give you much more. It's the Lord who can better your life from what it is now. It's the Lord who can give you a real joy and a real happiness which you have never experienced. And you can think tonight of the Queen of Sheba. And we read of her in 1 Kings chapter 10. And she was to walk around Solomon's palace. And she had to make that confession that we read in 1 Kings 10 and verse 7. Howbeit I believed not the words until I came. And mine own eyes have seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. My wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men. Happy are those thy servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. And you know that's true of the Lord. I cannot tell you the half of it. He will give you a greater possession, for what is His will be yours. The storehouses of heaven are at the disposal of God's redeemed. You will have that great prospect of one day joining Him in the glory and reigning with Him as an heir of God and joint heir with Christ. Oh, what precious words we have in Romans chapter 8 and the words of verse 17 and 18. Of children and heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. And Paul goes on, he says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Do you think Stephen tonight is down of heart, walking the street of gold? Do you think he's downhearted because he was stoned to death? I tell you, he would count that. He would account that those sufferings as not being worthy to be compared with the glory that he's enjoying tonight in the presence of the King. Think of the prospect of having not only your sins forgiven, those sins that separate between you and the eternity with Christ in heaven, those sins that are damning your soul, those sins that are past and they're maybe forgotten by you, but you'll have to give an account of them one day. Those sins that might cause you to blush if they were to be revealed before others tonight. Those sins of yours can not only be pardoned and washed in the Savior's precious blood, but moreover you can have the assurance of a home in heaven. For he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you where I am, there you may be also. He spoke that to his own children. Judas wasn't there when he said those words. Judas was never saved. He says that to his own redeemed. My dear friend, as one who has been saved from sin, as one who has been saved from running with the world and saved from depending upon self or anything else that I could do, I can personally give you the assurance tonight, the Lord is able to give you much more. He's able to give you much more than what you have this evening in your sin. There's no comparison. And you know, the Apostle Paul could also draw no comparison when he reviewed his life. Philippians 3, in the words of verse 7, just listen to what he has found to say. He said, but what things were gained to me? And he's taken time in the opening verses of that chapter to give a little overview of what he was. And he was a religious man. And he could go right back to the stock of Israel and to the tribe of Benjamin. And he was right up there. He was a Pharisee. He says, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And Paul was clothed in that spotless garment of Christ's righteousness. He was accepted in the Beloved. It was upon the cross of Calvary that Christ gave His all, so that you might have eternal life. Oh, that He might have paid the full price of our redemption. And He's ready and He's willing to give the repentant one who comes to Him the fullness of the blessings of heaven. What an assurance. I wonder, are you going to run on in the things of the world? Are you going to run on, sinner, with those pleasures that only last for a season? Or will you stop and think tonight? And will you consider? And at last, taste and see that the Lord is good. For He has said, I am come that you might have life. And that you might have it more abundantly. That's the assurance that's given in the gospel. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. And then you'll notice, finally, his obedience. For hearing these words from this man of God, and what would be his if he but followed the word from the Lord, we can't but notice his obedience. Words of verse 10 speak of him doing a work of separating. And Amaziah separated them, to wit, the army that was come to him out of Ephraim to go home again. He sent them home. Wherefore their anger was greatly kindled against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. He separated the 100,000 that had come from Israel, those that had incurred the displeasure of God, and he was to send them home. And you know, men and women, that didn't go down well with them. That separation was to incur the wrath and the anger of those men. But what Amaziah did was to obey God rather than men. And his obeying of God's word meant a separation. The next thing you'll read is Amaziah strengthened himself. And he took that step of faith of depending on the Lord to give him the victory as he went to battle. And what's more, you'll also read in verse 11 that he was to see 10,000 of the Edomites smote with the sword. In other words, Amaziah, because he had obeyed what God had said unto him through his servant, he was to have great success. And another lot of them, they were cast over the top of the rock. They were broken in pieces. He was to return home in victory. He was to prove the meaning of his name. God indeed is mighty. And my friend, I believe the application is clear. I believe it is plain to your soul. If you want to accept God's way of salvation, which is the only way, and you want to leave this house of God tonight with the assurance that all is well with your soul, then my friend, there will have to be that work of separation done in your life. It must be the separating from sin. You see, that's what repentance is, an old-fashioned biblical word that's not often mentioned in the gospel today. Repentance is all about being so sorry for your sin that you've had enough of it and you're turning away from it, never to turn to it again. You've done with it. And that in turn may mean a separating from the old friends of the world. There may well needs be the separating from those places of the world. But God, by His grace, gives you the ability to do that and to love the things that you once hated and to hate the things that you once loved. There will be a work of separation done in your heart. For if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away, behold, all things become new. It may mean that you'll suffer the anger or the despising of so-called friends. But what is that in the light of having a friend that sticketh closer than any brother? Of having acceptance with God through the Lord Jesus Christ? Of being at peace with God and reconciled to Him through the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus? Much more, it is only when you come to know Christ as your Savior that you'll know that strength from above. You will have that needed strength to run the race. The Lord saves you, just doesn't leave you, you know. But He gives you the strength to run. He gives you the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God to enable you to walk for God. And you'll have that strength to run the race and to face the temptations and the battles that the world and the flesh and the devil will throw against you. And it's when you know Christ that then you'll know success in your life. The psalmist speaks of that blessed man or that happy man in Psalm 1. That man that is likened to the tree planted by the rivers of water. And it says in that little third verse, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Of course, the ultimate blessed man is Christ. The book of Psalms begins with the Lord. But that can be you tonight. You can be the happy man, the blessed man, and you'll know what it is to prosper. God will bless you. God is able to give you much more than this. Well, my friend, the Lord is ready to give you all this and much more. But I wonder, is tonight going to find you accepting that Christ's death on the cross was for me? Accepting His work of redemption for a sinner like me, appropriating it to yourself. He doesn't just die for sinners, He died for a sinner like me. A wretch of a soul like me, one that is trotting the old things of the world, seeking to scratch about getting some pleasure from them. And yet Christ shed His blood on the cross for a wretch such as I. He died for a wretch like me. It is by accepting His peace and promises that will lay hold, that you'll lay firm hold upon for all eternity. I urge upon you to turn from your sin. I urge upon you to lay hold upon Christ by faith and to find acceptance with God this evening before you leave this house. And you can go home tonight knowing in your soul that God is mighty. And He was mighty to save me. May God enable you to do so for His own glory's sake. Remember that little simple phrase, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer, please, in closing. I exhort you, dear loved one, to come tonight. Come and seek the Lord. He's able to give you much more than what you think you have this evening. dare I say it, maybe you sought pleasure in the old horses yesterday. Maybe you sought pleasure in the old lottery ticket. That old horse didn't come in for you. There's an emptiness. Maybe you're seeking pleasure in those secret sins of yours no one else knows about. And you've gone on now for years. Take this as a word in the gospel. You'll never be satisfied in the world. God is able to give you much more. He's able to give you pardon of soul. He's able to give you abundant life. He's able to give you eternal life, in which you'll never perish. He's able to give you that assurance tonight of that eternal inheritance reserved for you. And my friend, you must appropriate what Christ has done on the cross and come by faith. Lay hold upon the Savior. I'm here afterwards, even during a little time of fellowship, come and speak with me and gladly show you the way of salvation. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word. We thank the Lord that in Christ dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Thank the Lord, in Christ we have everything that we need. This little text, this little phrase that man of God was to speak to Amaziah is applicable to many a heart tonight. The Lord is able to give you much more. We pray, Lord, that men and women would have done with their sin, following after the latest crazes of the world. God, we pray tonight in the closing seconds that Thou would bring them to an end of themselves. Bring him to the foot of the old rugged cross. And I might consider afresh what it cost God's Holy One to bear away their sin. Father, part us with Thy blessing. Bless those that will leave at this time. Bless others that will remain. We thank Thee for the good things provided, the hands that have provided them. Bless them to our bodies, thus to Thy service, and later on, bring us each one home in safety. For we ask these things in our Savior's precious name.